Father, sometimes we miss out on the joy of what it is to put Christ first. Be glorified in all this, Father. In your name we pray, in the Son, in your glory, and thank you. Amen. All right. Now, so let's look at the, I'm going to read all the context of Matthew 6, 25 through 33, so you know what 6:33 is really referring to. And it says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Could we just stop there and preach? You just, you do recognize that there's a pandemic of anxiety going on in America. I mean, the amount of anxiety, especially in our kids, has rose dramatically in the last several years. Therefore, I say to you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, and nor about your body or what you will put on. Is not life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things. We're Gentiles. Did you know that? Yes. Okay. Well, most, I think, you could have a Jewish background. But anyway, for Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But, circle the but, it's a big but. So he's done this long paragraph, and now here's the punchline. But, Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, the context of this passage is in the Sermon on the Mount. Okay, so Jesus has been doing this ongoing teaching. He's going to be doing it through chapter 7 of Matthew, talking about the very nature of the kingdom, of what it is to actually live under the reign of the Father in your life. So, but let's drop back down and just look at 633. And I think right there. So, sort of look at the parts of this, and I want you to get a hold of it. So, there's a first things first kind of thing. So, what are you supposed to do first? Go thou and do it, and I'm done. How hard is that? How hard is that? Seek first. We're not raised that way. Our minds don't go that way. We're more concerned about who's going to win the game today. We're more concerned about all the food that we ate during the holidays going, oh, I really ought to deal with this. We're more concerned about life issues. And yet we come to the Bible and says, wait a second, nope, there's a first. We'll talk more about that as we go through this. So the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and like I said, I didn't have room for righteousness today, and that's a horrible way of saying it, but we're going to make it all righteousness in 2 weeks. How's that? But what I want you to see is that based on this, there is a promise. No, go back. No, not yet. There's a promise. So if I do this, then God does this. And it happens over and over in Scripture. Where there's a command, where there's instruction, it says, now, if you live this way, if you do this kind of activity, if you are this kind of person, then God does this, this, and this, and this. And then later on in life, you say, well, God, why aren't you doing that stuff? And God's saying, have you been doing this, this, and this? Well, no, God, you're just supposed to take care of me. Uh-uh, it don't work that way. God don't raise spoiled children. Okay? He just don't. So we see the parts. Let's see how it works for us. So what does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? What would it look like? Let's make it tangible. It means, in essence, that I'm following God's direction and living for God's glory. Wherever I am, whatever I do, I seek God's purpose and walk in his ways. Do that again. Whatever I do, all the things I'm involved in, I am seeking God's purpose, seeking out his ways. Sort of sound fanatical to you? You can't be a Christian if you're not a fanatic. I mean, that's just the territory that it covers. Now, interesting enough, the Greek tense of the verb, and you know I like this kind of stuff, the Greek tense of the verb emphasizes an ongoing character of an imperative. There's a command. So the word seek, by the way, the word seek means to either seek or look for or desire after. Okay? But it's a command. It's an imperative. All right? So not optional behavior. He's saying, if you're in Christ, do this. Seek first the kingdom. Also, it's a present active imperative. Present, are you excited yet? A present active. What that means is you're not just supposed to do it once. It's an ongoing lifestyle. It's supposed to be reoccurring over and over and over and over again that I'm to be doing this imperative, that I'm to be seeking the kingdom of God. So we're to seek, we're supposed to keep on seeking God's reign over our life. Okay, let's get on past that. Now, there's a couple of a major emphasis in this passage, and I'm going to hit three of them. Okay, number one is the emphasis on kingdom. That ought to make sense here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So, but look in Hebrews 10:12. Now, there are several significant passages in the Bible that talks about the kingdom and talks about Jesus reigning and Jesus being king. And Sean did a lot of that last week. So I said, oh, I don't have to talk about that. He did that already. But what I do want to point you to is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. It says, but when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice, that sort of take in the cross to you, the resurrection? Takes in Christmas. I mean, it takes in the whole thing. This is Jesus' purpose. He, in his birth and his mission, becoming man. And so here he is. He when he was done. But when Christ offered up for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, there's a couple of reasons why this passage is so significant. One, it marks down that Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father shows he has equal status with the Father. So that's significant. So doctrinally for us, we want to sort of see that. But also that he finished his mission or his work of atonement. All right? Both of those are paired here as we look at what's going on in Hebrews. And you got to read the whole context of Hebrews to get all that in there. But what I want you to pick up on is when Jesus sat down, he did not retire. Okay? Retirement has become an interest to me, so you know I look for these things. But, I mean, so when he sat down next to the Father, it's not that he's now out of the way or he's some kind of figurehead. But what he's doing there in the throne room of heaven is he is reigning as king. That's why we serve King Jesus. That's why Sean said when you look at Christ, it sort of helps you interpret that being not just Messiah, anointed, but also king, because that's his current station in relationship to us. He is the one that we serve. He is our king. We are his servants. If you have a problem with that, you need to have a long talk with God. Because that's the relationship we have. Now, when we teach our kids, okay, if I'm in there working with Sandy's group, I'm talking about making Jesus your best friend. Okay? That's the Vacation Bible School version. And by the way, that's not wrong. Okay? Jesus wants to be your friend. And then you know, you get a little bit older and you sort of see Jesus as the elder brother kind of thing. Well, that's not really wrong because we were adopted into the family of God. So there's a sense that that's true. But if you're at those two levels, you are really missing the significance of who Jesus is. Because in truth, he's not your bud. Okay? He's your king. There's a relationship dynamic. I do this when I work with couples. So have you ever heard of in marriage relationships that equality, you know, there's supposed to be equality in relationships like this. Yeah. You know, this is where power is at. This is where relationship is at. And I want you to know that this is a complete lie.
Amen.
Okay. Someone says we have a 50-50 relationship. I say, oh, never. Never. She speaks. It goes up like this. She's here. You're here. That's just sort of where it happens. Okay? In healthy relationships, we're not static. It's not somebody's up and somebody's down. It's we're serving one another. Power flows like this based upon the need of my partner. My partner has more needs than I come under and I lift them up. When I have more needs, they come under and lift. And it's like this. Okay? That's a healthy relationship. But when you're in relationship with Jesus, it's never this way. Ta-da! It's here. Why? He's boss. Does he come minister to you? Absolutely, but he never stops being boss. Okay? He sent his spirit into you to minister to you and uplift you and hold you up, but he's always boss. You want to know the right thing to do? Who should you be asking? Jesus. Somebody calls and says, hey, would you and your wife like to come do this? I said, hold on, I have to go talk to the boss. Now, when I say that, I mean her. But in life issues, it's about him. So seek ye first the kingdom of God is, first of all, getting this whole thing down that there is an emphasis on kingdom, and my relationship in the kingdom is to the king and then the other servants in the kingdom. And what are we a kingdom of? Oh, that's righteousness. We'll get into that next week or 2 weeks. All right. Where am I? I got carried away. Oh, yeah, he sat down to reign, and it's reigning today. So the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, is the reign, the reigning of King Jesus today. It's a realm where Jesus' authority is acknowledged and obeyed. Well, there are people who live in the kingdom of God, and there are people who do not live in the kingdom of God. Say, well, Jack, where's the kingdom of God? Wherever you take Jesus. But just because you are in the kingdom of God, because you have a relationship with Jesus, does not mean that your best friend who does not know Jesus is in the kingdom of God. You're to take the kingdom of God to them. That's another story altogether, but we're going to move on. But that's what we do. And so to seek God's kingdom is to desire God's rule to be recognized and obeyed. Now, let me give you three areas where we want to make sure that God's rule and reign is obeyed in our lives. One, within my life. I got to be able to answer that. Is the reign of Christ ruling in my life? Am I obeying Jesus? We're going to talk more about that coming up. Am I obeying Jesus? Well, some of you say, well, I think so. Well, you see, you're not going to know unless you actually read what the Bible says. Remember all that stuff that says, hey, if you do this and this and this, then God will do this? Doing this and this and this is being obedient to the reign of Jesus. And when you're obedient to the reign of Jesus, God can bless you this way. Okay? And if you're finding out, hey, God's not blessing me, something's up, well, I got to start doing some research. How am I seeking after Christ and what I'm working with? Is your number one desire to make sure that in everything that you do that God's glorified? Okay? Got a problem going on? Okay. Let's work through it. First thing I want to know is God going to be glorified in the way you're seeking to answer it? You ever have one of those problems where you really just want to hurt somebody? That's your sin nature. And if you told me no, I'm going to really say, "Huh, not nice to lie in God's church." Because we all have things where our buttons get pushed, right? I'm either boring or you're tuning me out or you're afraid to answer. I mean, I'm not too sure what's happening here. Okay, just testing there. Okay, so within my own life, I need to make sure that Jesus is reigning. And that is spiritual maturity. The more and more I surrender to the reign of Christ in the various areas of my life, the more mature I become in Christ. And Satan will always find those chinks in the armor. He'll always find those places where I'm not doing it well, and he magnifies them. Yeah, and so now I got to deal with it. So how's it going with your soul? You dealing with it well? Or are you really struggling? But you see, that is determining whether or not I'm allowing the king to reign here. It's like, you know, people really push this freedom of choice thing. Jesus never stops being king. It's just whether or not you're obedient or disobedient. If you're disobedient, what do you think he's going to do? Yeah, he's going to discipline you. Okay, remember, God doesn't raise spoiled kids. Yes, there's grace. Yes, there's mercy. But God knows you, and he knows when you're playing games. So I got to make sure I'm doing it right in my life. Then I need to make sure that Christ is reigning in my circle of influence. Okay? My circle of influence. Now, some of you have a very small circle of influence. Some of you have a very large circle of influence, and sometimes it's in flux. But what I want to make sure is that Christ is reigning in all my interactions in my larger circle of influence. Why? Well, because Jesus is number one in my life. He's that important. And what begins happening here, all right, if we're really not conscious of this and we're really not seeking after it, I'm going to sort of say, well, that means things are probably not well within your soul. That means that you're probably just trying to skate by, or maybe you just haven't, you're really serious about Jesus. You just are not disciplined enough to really get into his word to understand what God wants from you. Okay? Yeah, and so, wait a second. That's why the command, seek first. You get caught up in all the stuff in your life, and Jesus says, hey, the answer begins by, hey, are you putting Jesus first in all these places? Because that's the nature of the kingdom of God. And then, so in my life, in my further circle of influence, but also as far as I can stretch it out in the world. Okay, now I don't have a lot of influence out in the world, but it goes beyond where I have influence. I have contacts with people I have no idea who they are. And I got to make sure that I'm doing it right. So it's not just my little thingy here. I want Jesus to reign everywhere that I'm involved in. And what would that look like if that was true in your life? So there is an emphasis on kingdom. There's also an emphasis on priority. All right? Remember, there's a seek what? Yeah, so that's a priority. In other words, before what you want what God wants. Before your shiny toy, it's what God wants. Before you get all wrapped up in the things that you're concerned about, are you wrapped up in the things that God's concerned about? And so it becomes a matter of priority. And this is where it really gets us as believers. Can you honestly say that Jesus is your number one priority? And what would it look like if that was really true? So I'm to prioritize the kingdom of God over all of my concerns. Yeah, and no, I'm not going to go there. Okay, now, so how do we know if we're truly seeking God's kingdom first? There's some questions that you can ask yourself. Let's give you just a few. You can use a bunch. Where and how, number one, where and how do I primarily spend my time, my money, my talents, and abilities? If I was to look, we used to say, before I got old, we used to say that your checkbook would show you where you spend your money, but you don't use checkbooks anymore. But if you wanted an accounting of it, print up your bank account. And show me all the places your money went for Jesus. Does it show that Jesus is first place in your life? So, I mean, such things as tithing. We haven't been a long time since we talked about tithing. Remember that tithing thing, 10% of your total income? Gross goes to God? No questions asked. In fact, if you really want to bless God, you give more than 10%. And people look at you and say, I don't have to do that. That's Old Testament stuff. No, that's sin. Right there. Why? Because God rules. God rules. We give money to the kingdom of God so that more people can be in the kingdom of God. How hard is that? So that's a real simple one. What about my time and my talents? How am I using my time? I can't come to church today, God, because the big game's on. I had that discussion with my wife the other day. Oh, I'm not pastor no more. I don't have to show up. I can watch the game. That was not a good conversation from my wife's side. Can I just tell you that? That didn't go over well. I sort of knew it. There really is no excuse for that anymore since we have DVRs and all that. But okay, moving on. So my time, my talent, how are you using your gifts? Are you all, well, Jack, you know, I really don't have time. You understand all the work that I do. I've got my job, and I've got these responsibilities over here, and I've got these responsibilities over here. And so when it comes to God, all I got is this little bitty thing over here left. Certainly God doesn't want all that. And, well, what the bigger issue is, it just means that Jesus is not reigning in your life. See, there's this thing that nobody told you when you became a Christian. More than likely, you were taught wrong. Somebody said, all you need to do is invite Jesus into your life and surrender to Him, Lord and Savior, and then you get eternal life. Right? And so they just wanted to make sure you had eternal life. And then they baptized you, get you wet, because they wanted to a notch off their gun. And they left you there. And I'm going, that is just... No. Back up a couple of words. Surrender to Him is what? Savior and Lord. Lord's another word for king. But we didn't teach you the kingship part. We just wanted you to be good little Christians and come to church and fill the church and give us lots of money, and then we were happy. God was not happy, because that's not what it's about. Not in any sense. And so, where am I? Oh yeah, there we are. So, another question I can ask. How am I living for Christ in all of my relationships? Man, I got in trouble not too long ago. I was talking to somebody and about, you know, just loving everybody. And got into an issue that rubbed this person wrong because of a family situation. And he was hot. And he would say, I love everybody but this one person. Because of what they did to me. Well, because I pushed about what we're supposed to love anyway. Never saw the guy again. Why? Because we all, guys, here it is. We all have issues, right? Some of our issues have issues. And some of them are related to us. And so we struggle. And we never stop loving. We never stop caring. Now, I'm not talking about this kind of love. I'm talking about sacrificial love, giving, caring, being concerned. And so how am I communicating living for Christ in all my relationships? I'm going to come back to that in a second. How am I communicating my life's purpose to others? I could ask that question. Do people know that my life purpose is about Jesus? I got to admit, I'm a boring kind of guy. Can I just tell you that if you haven't figured that out already? I want to talk to you about two things. I want to talk to you about God stuff, and I want to talk to you about boats. You want to talk about anything else? I don't care. I mean, I'm that simple kind of thing. But some of that is Jack's quirk. That's the boat. And some of it is that's really what my life has been about. But the thing is, you can wear a title, and that doesn't mean nothing. Okay? It's whether or not it's really about Jesus. Am I concerned? Oh, I love this one. Am I concerned that I look good, or am I concerned that God looks good? Yeah, but in any problem that you have, the outcome that you're looking for, do I want me to look good in this, or is it about that God looks good in this? Are you communicating that way? That's the thing. See, we know stuff. It's whether or not we do the stuff. Now, there's also, so we talked about kingdom, we talked about priority, but there's also this emphasis on continual motion. Continual motion. It's continual seeking. It really comes down to this. You are either, if you are not running towards Jesus, you are walking away from Jesus. Okay? If you are not actively running, see, I know when I'm walking and I know when I'm running. Running, the older I get, becomes more uncomfortable. So I prefer the walk. Got the special inserts in my feet and all that kind of stuff, because my body just doesn't do that anymore. But you know, I mean, you're either running, there's this motion thing going on. I'm very, very active. I mean, this is that continual seeking that we talked about. I'm either running towards Jesus or I'm walking away. There is no walking to Jesus. The problem with that is that he's in motion. There's too many other influences around us. There's too many activities, struggles, demands for our time and attention, things on TV, problems in the world. I mean, life's going on. The holidays are the pits. Really hard to get people back active in the church in the month of January. They took vacation the 1st of December, maybe it had been January, Thanksgiving. They took vacation and they liked it. And it's now getting them back. In ministry times, I always call January the black hole, because it's where we lose people. Because, man, I'm so busy with life, and now I get to sit down for a while because the church isn't looking for me. Some of you have heard me use this illustration before. It's called the California Current. If you're out on a boat, remember boat stories, have boats, like boats. Two things I'm interested in, God and boats. Okay, so if you're out on a boat, you never sit still. If you turn the engine off or take the sails down and you just try to sit there, you will continue to move. Why? Because there's a 3-mile-an-hour current that comes from San Francisco area all the way down the southern coast. Okay, it's in constant movement. If you want to sail to something place like, you know, San Francisco, it's easier to sail first to Hawaii than to San Francisco, because you're not fighting the current and you got the wind going with you. Okay? Because so there's this constant tug, this constant motion, this constant movement against you. So in life, what I want you to see is that if you just say, hey, you know, I'm just going to sit and relax for a while, and I'm not going to really do anything for a while, what's going to happen is, well, not only, you're going the wrong way. Okay? You will start doing habits that you ought not. You're going to be moving away from the kingdom. You're going to be moving away from this personal relationship with Jesus. Why? Because to be successful in your Christian life, you've got to be running towards, you've got to be seeking after the kingdom of God. Present active indicative, it's an imperative, it's something that's ongoing. And you say, but Jack, isn't there a place where you can sit down and rest? And the answer is nope. Because if you do, you're going the wrong way. We are living in a world of spiritual warfare and battle. Okay? If you get tired and you say, well, I've done enough for a while. I'm just going to sort of kick back and let everybody else do whatever they want in the church. Well, Satan's going to eat you up. He's just been waiting for you to do nothing. Not only is there this movement, this tension against us, pushing us away from God, but there's another problem about why we have to seek after every day the kingdom of God, and that is because God moves. Okay? God moves in proximity to you. Now, God's always present, but his movement is always in action. So you're concerned about your little life here. I don't know what it is. You draw it out. Okay? But God said, but I'm over here. Come join me. And God said, now I'm over here. Come join me. God said, no, I'm over here. You say, Jack, can't you hold still? He says, why? There's too many people that need help. So there's this constant movement of ministry, constant movement within the kingdom. If I'm really serving after my Lord, I'm going to be looking for those he wants me to touch, those he wants me to minister to. Whether or not it's going to the park and feeding the poor and just ministering to those that don't have what you have, or it's food ministry, or it's Bible study, or some other kind of ministry. There's all these things that God says, come on, let's go. I mean, just... don't raise a hand. Don't want to know. But do you hear about the park ministry? You hear about the food distribution ministry? You hear about childcare? Oh, childcare. You hear about working with kids, students? You're going, phew, sure glad somebody else is doing that. Really? I mean, come on, really? Are you a member of this church? Does this church have a mission under the kingdom of God? I'm not hearing really a whole lot of affirmative here. Well, we do. Now, don't give me but I'm old bit. Because I'm already hitting that one and I know. You can't do, oh, well, I'm young. No, I don't care how young you are. We'll put you to work. Why? Because God is constantly in movement. That means as a believer, if I'm seeking after... how many of you remember playing hide-and-go-seek? Wait a minute. You never played? Oh, I was going to say, You married her. Okay. But, you know, in hide and go seek, somebody is it, right? And you have, everybody else goes hide. Now the person who's it's going, oh, I wonder where everybody could be. So, yeah, I'll just sit here and wait for them to come to me. That's how you lose friends. Because when they come, they're going to be really mad you weren't looking. Okay, so in the kingdom of God, we're it. And we're to be seeking where God wants us today. Where the ministry, the purpose he has for us today. So the very nature of the kingdom is the reign of God and the work of God and all the things that God is doing. And he says, you serve me now. Come on, let's go. So a lot of us think, you know, well, I was seeking God, so I went to church. Well, yes, God's here. Oh, by the way, we're glad that you're here. But you're missing Matthew 6:33. You're to be seeking God in everything. Are you guys picking this up?
Yeah.
You sort of realize why I left righteousness out? Because anyway, you start dealing with this stuff, it becomes overwhelming for us. So, all right, I got to wrap this up. So seeking the kingdom of God then, if I'm really going to make it work, begins with my intent. Okay, begins with my intent. Is it my intent to serve Jesus? Is it my intent to be his servant? Is it my intent that he is my king, that I am to be serving him, that I'm in relationship with him, that I'm doing for him? So I want to follow that intent. Not that, oh, well, I'm intending to. That's not what I'm talking about. Let me give you an illustration of what intent looks like. Joshua said it this way. He was talking to the children of Israel because he was letting them loose and they were just going to start becoming what we know as the kingdom of Israel, but long way from that. If it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the river beyond the Jordan or the gods of the Ammonites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, intent, we will serve the Lord. If you were to ask Joshua, hey, Joshua, what's your intent about God? I serve him. Now, serving him for in that day meant you were going into battle. It meant that every day you got up, kingdom life was about God. God was a vital part of everything that you did. And the scripture says, and when I do this, okay, let's move on. So, I can skip that. Let's see. I do need to talk about this. No, I'll go back to it. I was talking to someone this last week, and I was talking about the way I do counseling. By the way, after you hear this, you probably never want to do counseling with me. That's fine. But I do what's called Christian counseling. Okay? That means in the way that I counsel, I involve God and the things of God. And I think I left that part out of the conversation that got this guy upset at me. But I forget the context of why I was telling somebody this, but I said sometimes when I'm doing counseling, I will ask the people I'm counseling, are you really a Christian? And he got upset at me because he thought, well, somebody's hurting and they need care and you're confronting them like this? Well, the crowd that I generally work with is about Jesus. And so when I ask this question, what I really want to know is, are you living for Jesus in the midst of your problem? Or did the problem become more important than your relationship with Jesus? So, in that moment, you have to recognize that your intent is not to live for Jesus. Your intent is just not to have problems. Or maybe you have a different way of saying it. But if my intent is to live for Jesus, that means I'm living for Jesus as my king in every problem that I have, every good news that I have, everything that I do. My intent is I'm choosing to live for Jesus. You want to talk to me? Let's talk about Jesus. Well, when you're talking with a non-Christian crowd, they don't want to have that conversation. But you begin with your intent. Your intent defines who you are as a person. It defines your actions. It defines the decisions that you make. If you want to find purpose in your life, maybe it's victory over addictions or victory over depression or anxiety. All of that is facilitated upon your intent to seek the kingdom of God. Because as you are seeking and you're finding him, he can now begin doing the healing. It's my belief that your marriage is not going to heal if your intent is not to seek the kingdom of God. Well, what do you mean kingdom of God? What's that have to do with the fact that she's a creep? Well, I could have said him. It depends on which group I wanted mad at me for saying it. Well, no, let's get it back in order. Before you start dealing with this, get this right here. What's your intent? How are you? That's why I ask whether or not you're really Christians, because you know the Bible says we're to love one another, right? I don't see love going on here. Anyway, go on. So, finding victory over life problems is based upon my intent to seek after the kingdom of God, because I want him reigning in those life problems. How hard is that? I let God worry about the outcome. My job is just to make sure he's reigning there. And that I'm a part of what he's doing there. And I'm asking, hey, God, am I doing this right? What do I need to be changing so that I'm honoring you here, that you're being glorified in this? Yeah, we're lazy. We don't want to work that hard. But man, this is the way that God can bless your life. See, what we're learning is the kingdom of God is life-consuming. Okay? It's life-consuming. It's everywhere. Question is whether or not you're going to join it. See, instead of getting all caught up into my life, I desire to get caught up in a life where Jesus dominates. It's a decision. It's an intent. So what does God want for you in all this? Give you some verses, just for fun. They're there in your notes so you can take them home with you. Psalms 37. I cut this up a little bit. Go ahead, next slide. There it is. Oh, I broke it up in your notes, but first part, trust in the Lord and do good. Start there. What does God want you to do? And? That's sort of like seek ye first and all his righteousness. You see, it's right there. I just cut it in half. Next one. And dwell in the land and befriend. To who? God first. Everybody else too. Then delight yourself in the Lord. And he will give you what? But what do you got to do first? You see it? And we finish up. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will
act.
What do I got to do to get God to act?
Commit
and trust. What? God wants to act in your life. God wants to do this stuff in you. He's just waiting for you to do your part. Why? Because God doesn't raise spoiled kids. Well, how should we obey God's commands? What would that look like? Well, Psalms 119. Give me understanding that I may keep your law, the law, Old Testament word, and observe it with my whole heart. Not part, whole. Psalms 119:60. I will hurry without delay to obey your commands. Wouldn't it be nice if you had that kind of attitude? Why then? Why do we choose to live this way? Okay? You've got to put it together. So, trust. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added. priority first, and then God does this. I have another verse for you to sum this up. I love this verse. I was taught this verse by a very old lady. White-haired lady. I was 20... Was I 20? No, 27? 27? Yeah. Gertrude White. Frail little Gertrude White. Favorite verse. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly, if you have King James, exceedingly, I can't even say it now in King James. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all of us ask or think, according to the power who works within us. What can God do in your life? Exceedingly abundantly to the power that works within us. And this relationship between us and God, it's a this kind of relationship. And God calls you to serve the kingdom. Serve the kingdom. What would that look like in your life if you started making those changes? What do you think God could do in a life that was willing to make these changes and make the kingdom their priority? Hey, Father, we thank you. Man, do amazing things in us as a church, us as individuals, as we seek to honor you and put you first in all things. Be glorified, Father, for you're awesome and you are amazing. In Jesus' name, amen.